Usually whatever comes after respectfully is disrespectful.
Let's talk about it.
Girl was trying to run the dude over with her car. What? So you admitted to being a butthole
yes,
to his
I
daughter.
Mean, no, I wasn't. No, understand more understanding now of that father daughter concept. We back at it. Back for another one. It's the Big Gene and DJ Foot Podcast.
Did he just give me the hand?
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, you always want to run stuff, man. You always want to run stuff, man. I mean,
give me the stop sign.
Excuse me. I go by the name of Cool DJ Foot. And over here is the, great. You need no introduction, so you go ahead.
So now I got permission to talk now?
Okay, go ahead.
Dude, we're going to mess around Teddy's podcast studio all up. We're going to be fighting.
Like two bulls in a china shop.
That's what it's going to be, two bulls. Yeah. You know what I mean?
There's going to be a whole lot going on, a whole lot of activities going on, cameras and right. walls.
Just know who the alpha is.
No, who the omega is.
Okay. All right, you keep on. Alpha. All right, omega. It's all right. It's all right. Well, look, you know, now that we've gotten through that, thank y'all
for tuning in. Get your proper voice off. Now that we've got through that.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, go ahead.
Now that we've gotten through the message. Right,
let's go.
We can get down to business.
Yes, sir.
Of the podcast. You know, good to see you as always, Foot.
You as well, sir.
You know, and we just talking about what we're talking about.
Well, let's talk about it then.
Let's talk about it.
Let's get it. It's on you.
All right. So, you know, I was sitting here thinking about relationships, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and you're an expert in that because you got a lot of kids. Oh, so,
yeah, I do. And I do.
So you're an expert in relationships.
Yeah, so I dealt with several different personalities and several different, and I know she's over there laughing big time, right?
Yeah.
Hey, lady, you ain't got to laugh over there like that.
Shout out to my wife, Shantika Massenberg, the one and only.
You can
shout out.
You okay over there? You okay?
So, you know, relationships, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, man, I've been watching things on the news and, you know, seeing, you know, some people getting caught out here in some bad situations, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got guys out here married, getting caught out in different stuff. You got people who ain't married out here getting caught in stuff. I saw a video on Instagram yesterday where the girl was trying to run the dude over with her car and ran into the building two times. She ain't never hit him.
Yeah.
But she tore her car all to pieces.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something she got to deal with. I'm going to keep it personal. I mean, I'm going to keep it as real as I can. If I don't work hard to pay for mine or they got mine, I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, I know it's materialistic, but no, you ain't got no business tearing all this up. You can't tear that up, man. No. We ain't doing all of that.
You hurt her feelings.
Okay. You hurt mine by tearing up everything.
Yeah. But, you know, so the thought is, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, healthy relationships.
Yeah.
You know, healthy relationships, you know, relationships change as we change, you know, how your relationship was as a teenager and how it is now as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
When we start talking about healthy relationships, you know, what does that look like?
It varies because I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, relationship wise, I can say I was the wrong guy for a number of these instances. I can say I was the wrong guy.
Womanizer.
Yeah. Call it what you will.
Victimizer.
Call it what you will. I mean, you know, but like you said.
Homemonger.
I don't know about that one.
It's in the Bible. Homemonger.
Yeah.
Homemonger.
But I can say I was.
I can't spell it. But.
I mean, you know, if you know me, yeah, you know, I was responsible for. I can say quite a few instances where well, I was the wrong guy, but hey, you grow older. You grow older and you get wiser and you learn the error of your ways and you learn how to had to change some things in life, man. I mean, you know, you can always be portrayed as that person. I mean, it ain't like you're going to always be able to. They could be like, well, you know, I knew him from way back when. He was a hoe back when. He probably a hoe now, you know. Okay. That's your opinion. But do you know me like that? And 9 times out of 10, if you going to talk to me and about me like that, then some on your mind.
Well, yeah. You know, one of the things I've learned, man, is that some people said first impressions is the lasting impression. I believe that last impression is the last impression.
Yeah.
The last way you remember somebody, that is what they're going to be until otherwise later on. Guess what? If somebody was a hoe in high school, they're going to stay that way until you meet them later in life. And it changed. That's just going to be the memory that you have. Yeah. If someone was a thug in high school and all they did was get in trouble and they were getting arrested and stuff like that, if you don't see them, then that's what they're going to be until something changes the picture. So sometimes when you could be the wrong guy and you do things wrong, the last impression is the lasting impression.
It ain't always bad, though. It ain't always bad.
If you broke their heart, it's bad.
Well, if you apologize, then you try to, you know, and you walk it down and you, look, I was wrong. I can admit to being wrong. If you can admit to being wrong and they still don't forgive you, then it's on them from there. It's on them.
To a certain extent.
No, ain't no to a certain extent. If you can accept my apology, then consider it done.
Well, Foot, I'm about to punch you in the face, but I want you to know I'm sorry.
That ain't gonna happen.
But I apologize.
No. It's a difference, man. It's a difference.
You know, that's similar to somebody saying respectfully. Usually whatever comes after respectfully is disrespectful. Just you know, yes, forgiveness. We're supposed to give forgiveness.
Right.
We do. Yeah, you know I mean, or we won't be forgiven. But forgiving don't mean I forget. And forgiving don't mean I like you.
No.
It's just I release you. Uh-huh. But if I get up and slap you in the face with this table, and then I said,
you're real violent too.
My bad, Foot.
You a man of God, and you up here sitting here talking about smacking people and punching people in the face. And
see, that was the problem. That's why I don't tell people that.
Why would you tell somebody that?
Huh?
Why would you tell?
Because I'm a person. I'm a real person.
Exactly. That's what I was just saying. So I'm a real person too.
So I can have ideas of slapping you in the head with this table. Don't mean I do it.
I mean, you ain't going to do it. But anyway.
Here we go.
Anyway. Oh, man.
See, now we're in here talking about healthy relationships.
Yeah.
So exactly. Even this relationship. And
look how healthy his relationship done got. Look how healthy it is.
Look at this.
You talking about hitting me in the head with a table. You talking about punching me in the face.
My bad.
And you talking about healthy.
My bad. What about forgiveness, Foot?
I don't know if I can forgive you for that one.
Look at it. Well, God ain't going to forgive you either. Hell yeah. It's all right. You know, you just got to deal with that. But healthy relationships. You know, it's interesting, you know, because, you know, I got 3 daughters and you got a bunch of them.
I got four daughters.
Huh?
You ain't got four daughters.
14 sons.
Nah, maybe eight sons.
You know what I'm saying?
8 sons.
But, you know, as a father, you know, you typically are more concerned about your daughter's relationships.
Of course.
Than your sons. Because as a father, I have an obligation to care for my daughter and be I'm her covering until she has a husband that finds her and becomes her covering. So, you know, man, relationships when it comes to your daughters can get real hectic.
Right.
Cause we pour a lot into our daughters and we try to show them what a healthy relationship is and teach them. And sometimes they, you know, maybe they don't hear you or maybe you talk in another language. But they go out and they get in these relationships and you like, man, like what's going on? And you find yourself sometimes, and, you know, even for a man of God, as some people would say, even in those walks of life, man, those things can become problematic in your life because you got to weigh your spirituality and then wanting to put your hands on somebody. You know, you're dealing with protecting your baby, and, you know, sometimes it can go left. And you know, knowing what a healthy relationship is, being able to relay that to your kids is sometimes a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, I tell my daughters and those spiritually who look up to me that you have to find a man that loves God. Reason being, you would never, and that's man or woman, I don't care who you are, man or woman, I don't care how good looking you are, I don't care how many, you can have 24 pack of abs, you know what I'm saying? You can have, you can have a body that's put together by the best scientists in the world, but you would never be enough to keep a man or to keep a woman faithful. If all they got is you, then that's not enough. You know, that's where stuff comes around when they say what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. Because basically, if all they got is you when you're not around, then that's not, if you're not, it's out of sight, out of mind. That's when they start saying what they don't know won't hurt them. You know, so I push for my daughter to say, hey, look, find you a man of God, because then that accountability to God will ultimately keep them accountable to you. And no matter where they go, you know, and the same thing for my sons, you know, I hope they find a woman of God. You know, my wife loved God. You know what I mean? You know I am a very nice looking man. And, you know, I am well put together. But my wife is very attractive. And I know that she gets flooded with invites and invitations all the time because she's a good looking woman. But I ain't got to worry about my wife because I know my wife loves God. So she can be on a boat with all the strippers at the stripper national championships. And guess what? I ain't worried about my wife.
I'm looking the other way.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I don't have to worry about her because her accountability is God.
Understood.
You know what
Understood.
I mean?
Understood.
You know, and that's, for me, is what I see is the boundary or the foundation for a healthy relationship.
Right. Okay. Well taken. And in case you're wondering why I'm still looking this way, is because of that fabrication you just told there earlier.
Fabrication.
That was fabrication. I mean, now maybe in her eyes. Hey, FAB, brocations. Anyway, now over there.
QBs.
Yeah, okay. for real. Okay, what's wrong with Dinwiddie?
Nothing. I like Dinwiddie. I love
it. You're from Stony Creek, though. You're from Stony Creek.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. You're 30 miles from me. 40 miles from me. Anyway, me personally, I understand what you're saying. And it took me a while to finally realize that because I was in a relationship with I'm going to say my high school sweetheart, man. And we dated for almost, well, like about 17 years. 17 years. Now, going back and forth, what you just said about, you know, being daddies being protective of their kids, I mean, the girls especially, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it took me to have girls to realize what he was saying. Now, I waited until his 50th wedding anniversary to speak at their dinner. And I had to tell him thank you because I understood where he was coming from, having daughters of my own. And that happened. And it wasn't for real. I mean, it wasn't a dry in the house with that one, man, because everybody felt like, where's that coming from? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, but it took me to get that from my daughters because my daughter was hurt before, you know, and of course, you know, me.
Did you ride on them?
What you think? What do you think?
I don't know. Your nickname is Street Sweeper.
Okay, well, I ain't street the sweets, but I mean street the streets.
You street the streets. Yes.
You know what I meant.
Sweep the streets?
Yes, I didn't sweep them. No, okay. I didn't sweep them.
That's a tongue twister.
But it was on a
tongue twister.
It was on a country road, so you can't street the sweets.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you caught him on back road in the country?
No, I didn't catch him at all. I didn't catch him at all.
Okay.
But I had to bring it back down, I mean, because, you know, for real, how does it feel? Knowing that you got daughters, how your relationship was going back then when he had a daughter, you know, he was like, and he was protective because that was his only daughter. So, I mean, I understand it. I understood it even more after that. And, you know, like I said, to this day, me and him, like,
what? So you admitted to being a butthole to his daughter.
No, it wasn't being a butthole to his daughter. It was just being more understanding now of their father-daughter concept. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, their relationship. Yeah, I understood it. You know, I understood it more. But, like, you know how I am about
your daughter,
about Tiffany. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, Tiffany, all of them. I got four girls, but all of them are grown. But Tiffany is in my life on a regular basis. I got a daughter in Houston. I got a daughter and two daughters around here. And Tiffany out there where you're from. Anyway, they are, you know, I love my daughters. And now, like I said, I understood. So it took that for me to understand, you know what I'm saying? So, yes, I get what you're saying. You got three daughters, and I know you're super duper protective about yours, you know, because now sometimes those daughters, because I got grown daughters, they ain't going to tell you everything. They're going to tell you what they want you to know. But they're going to also try to keep things away from you because they don't want you to crash out or because, hey, man.
It's all good. I'm going to crash out, King. I'm going left.
It is what it is. But they try to, you know, they try to keep things on a smooth level, you know, and then you be like, what you mean? I mean, you know, and then, you know, you be like, you know. Okay, but what such and such? But then they'll be like, see, Dad, that's why I didn't want to tell you, or blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? What you mean? That's why you didn't want to tell me. As long as he didn't put his hands on her, you can keep everything over there in your pocket. But I mean, no. Nope.
So, okay, you shot one of your daughter's boyfriends. So that's what I got out of that. Sometimes those healthy relationships, and it's a lot of different relationships we can be talking about, but, you know, sometimes the in-laws become outlaws. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To talk about some aspects of a healthy relationship, one of the things I've learned over the years is you can't tell everybody your business.
Amen.
When sometimes you'll go talk to your parents and they'll go talk to theirs. And the problem is that you're only telling part of the story. And then next thing you know, your parent is going to become overly protective of you, of course, because they are vested in you. And what happens is now they're going to automatically go into protection mode and parent mode. And then, you know, you didn't tell your part of the story and all other stuff that you did, but you told what you didn't like about them. And then they're going to go talk to their parent. And they're going to tell their part of the story, and then their parent is going to become protective of them. Now, in-laws have become outlaws. Now, daddy and daddy going at each other, and mama going at each other. And that's because, we find ourselves, you know, sometimes we make the relationship unhealthy by talking to people too much. You know, if you're going to talk about a relationship, a lot of times it needs to be a neutral party with a level of maturity that you both respect, not a party that is vested one way or the other, because it's always going to fall unfair. You know what I mean? My daughter, I can honestly say this. I love my daughters. And no matter what happens, I'm going to be on their side.
Right.
So I can tell them when they're wrong, but I'm still going to protect them.
That's not supposed
and
to
as
be.
And as a father, I'm going to be in that corner. And, you know, so with my daughters, none of them are married yet. But when they get married, you know, and they'll probably want me to marry them, I hope. But even in that counseling, I'll let them know that you can't talk to me about everything. Because I'm biased.
They're not going to talk to you about everything.
Well, some will.
No, they won't.
Oh, you know, my oldest, she a little blabbermouth now. She just talk about her life all day. Well, she talked to her mama more than me.
Right. But you just said the words. She told mama.
Well, mama going to tell me, so it don't matter.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying.
Telling mama,
that's
like telling me.
That's softened the blow, though.
We won.
Soften the blow.
No, because mama turn up more than I do.
I know. Quit.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, that's just the point. That's
you want to see somebody go crazy about a child? Don't. Lord knows, don't tell Shantika Massenberg. She going to, what do you call it? Mama Bear?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mama Bear don't play.
Yeah.
But healthy relationships, you know, healthy relationships. I found, you know, a lot of people get into these relationships, man, and you'll get married and you're talking to, I'll say this. One of my big things is, and some people may disagree with me, but I feel like married people shouldn't hang out with single folk. Hmm. I feel it's a conflict of interest. Yeah, but you know how some things you can get a job and it's a conflict of interest? I think it's a conflict of interest.
Okay.
So let me give my example. So as a married man hanging out with a bunch of single dudes, you can guarantee that there's going to be a conflict. Because if they're single and you all are hanging out, their motive in the hanging out is different than yours. And if they're looking for a young, they looking for Miss Right for the night, not Miss Right for life, but Miss Right for the night. And you already got Miss Right for life and they got a group of friends and all of them come over and here you are with your friends that are all single. Now, even if you have not done anything wrong, as the Bible says, you should abstain from the appearance of evil. Now, your wife's best friend over there, girl, I saw him over there, and it was five women at the table, and it was five of them. And right. Next thing you know, you answering questions about stuff, and you ain't really had nothing to do with it.
Right.
And even though you may have been completely innocent, you look guilty.
But that ain't always the case. I understand your theory, and I mean, it's all good. But what if, okay, say like myself.
I said instance, you look guilty. I ain't saying
no,
that
no,
you
no. I'm not saying that. I'm saying myself, for instance. You know, I'm separated, but I'm trying to get everything to the point where it needs to be. Okay. And as long as I've been knowing you, now there's always, you're right, there's always that enticement, but that's you trying to make a better way for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you try to make a better way for yourself, you can't hold that against a single person. If you're a married person, you can't hold that against somebody, because how do you know these people ain't trying to make their way back to the right way? You know, how you know they ain't, mm-hmm. how you know me personally, we gonna be boys forever. I'm trying to make my way back to where I need to be. But if I'm taking steps to try to get there, how can I get there if I'm being dragged by the myth?
Well,
of trying to.
You make a good point there, Danny. You make a good point there, Danny. Because you do. I guess it's different instances then, because you do make a good point, because somebody can be the example. Somebody can be, you know, it can be innocent in some exceptions to the rule. I think I'm talking more of maybe young people. Well, no, I ain't going to even say young, because it could be this way for the older too. But when you are going to the club or you're going, you know what I mean? Like, there's certain things, you know, it's one thing if you're going out for dinner, you know, we going over to Ruth Chris or Perry's or something like that. But I guess I'm saying is people in relationships can't do what single people do. So when I'm saying hanging with single people, not necessarily that you can't be friends and you all can't interact, but the activities of the single person, the average single person, you can't, if you're in a relationship, you can't allow yourself to be pulled into, because ultimately it's going to be problematic for the relationship that you have.
Okay. Take myself for instance. Now I've been doing what I've been doing for, like I said, almost 40 years. And
40.
Been DJing for 40 years.
Oh, okay.
To know as many people as I know, innocent or in my past or whatever, you can't hold that against me, because if I know somebody that I've been knowing for years, I'm not going to stop being cordial, like speaking and keeping it moving. Rather, I mean, you know, if I see somebody I haven't seen in 20, 25 years, am I supposed to say, pretend as if I don't know them?
Hey, bro.
No.
I'll say this. Hey. Now, it's one thing if you see them after 25 years and it's like, hey, how you doing? But if, you know, if you're in a relationship and you're going to put that in there, we're going to hang out and we're going to do this.
No. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. That's not what I'm saying. If I say, like, I've seen somebody that I haven't seen in 25 years, if I see
an ex,
and I'll be like, oh, no, it ain't necessarily got to be an ex. Yeah. It can be a schoolmate. It could be anybody.
Homeboy. Be
no, I'm saying, you know, okay, like a female. If I see a female I haven't seen in 25 years, like, you know, yes, my job, what I do is like, that's what I do. And
social.
I mean, I'm a social person. I'm a sociable person. And I don't.
We know this.
I don't have to be. It don't have to be.
You spread the love around.
No one night stand or what you used to say, shoot the club. I ain't got to do none of that. You know what I'm saying? I could just be who I am. And it's good to see that somebody say, okay, well, he's still down to earth, yada, yada, yada. People have a tendency to think that because I'm a DJ or because I'm on the radio or because of this, that, and the third, that I'm unapproachable.
Well, you're very approachable.
Then see, you went there. They'll say, you ain't got to go there, man.
You're a good getter.
Yeah, I know I am.
You're a good getter.
In more ways than one. I mean, you know, and for real.
Please keep us out of your personal affairs.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
But anyway. No, but I mean, you know, I'm not going to change who I am because of your insecurities, because you feel like, you know, hey, well, who's that? Or how you know her? Or blah, blah, blah. Hold on. Now, we can talk about this week, but what you're not going to do is you're not going to tell me that I can't be friends with somebody I've been friends with long before I met you, long before I knew who you were, or any of the above, you know, but to respect you. Yes, I do respect you because I'm going to respect you enough to keep it moving.
So is that the mentality of a boyfriend or is that the mentality of a husband?
That's the mentality of people, period, in general.
Or is that the mentality of a husband?
Either way, it matters, but it don't matter because the profession that I'm in, what I do, people approach me. Like, I can walk in a building right now and people will approach me. I can be in a grocery store, bro. And people will approach you to the point where, hey, Foot, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And you got to either carry it in a way where you're being polite, you're being cordial, but at the same time, you know the line. You can't cross over. If you come to me right now and try to pull up on me in a way where you're trying to be, Hold on. You know,
that's what I'm saying. You have to be careful about that.
Right.
And you have to be mindful of that with your significant other because if your spouse is offended.
Right.
Then you still have to take heed to that, regardless if you don't see anything wrong or not.
Right.
You know, and you may see it as completely harmless.
Right.
You know, but sometimes they can pick up stuff that you don't pick up.
Right.
Okay. You know, the committed lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I know you're in a committed relationship, you know, and, you know, we all know people who are social beings. I'm social, you know, but then there are always limitations to that.
Exactly.
You know, you still have to abstain from that appearance of evil, and you have to make sure that you have healthy boundaries. And sometimes those things can get lost or get crossed, but you got to do your best to stay diligent.
Yes.
In yeah. those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always good to have a partner or someone, you know, or your wife or whoever it is, that can call you up and call you to the carpet and let you know, hey, look, that look like it's a little left, or, you know, that's problematic. Right. Let's line it back up.
Right. But if you had an age where you know better, then that shouldn't even be happening, period. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But some people, if you're in a club or wherever you at, which, you know, like I said, if I'm working and somebody walks up to me, you know, like, you can tell they've been drinking or whatever. Ain't no throwing yourself, especially when I'm working. Because 9 times out of 10, if I'm not working, I'm not going to be there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me now. That's who I am. If I ain't got to work, then ain't no need for me to even be in the club. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So walking around and just, I don't walk, man. No, I'm too old for that. I'm pushing right at 60 years old, 60 years of age. So I don't need to be in no club trying to mingle with nobody or with a woman on my arm or none of that type of stuff, man. I ain't with that.
But that's real world today, man. Yeah. You know, I was looking at, you know, we've seen some people here recently, you know, that got caught out there, you know, having these kind of affairs and doing different things. You know, they got my guy Steve Smith going through the ring.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I think a lot of times, man, people don't position themselves properly. You know, even when I travel with certain type guys. You know what I mean? I hang around people that have a similar lifestyle. And I think a big part of what I was saying earlier, even about singles hanging with singles or married hanging with married people, is that, you know, one of the things they say is birds of a feather flock together.
Right.
You know what I mean? You'll mess around, is they're going to either impact you or you're going to impact them.
Right.
And you'll find yourself, you know, you already know how guys are. Right. Especially when you're around single dudes that's out there in that lifestyle and doing what they do,
right.
They're going to always press the issue and press the envelope. And, you know, man, it can actually break up some healthy relationships or healthy families.
It can break up healthy relationships on both sides of the fence, though, because, okay, take you for instance. We know how each other, we know how we roll, we know how we are, but you're not going to get me in front of people because of the people that, you know, if you roll with somebody, you know, okay, you got a certain group of friends that's around, they'd be like, nah, man, bro, that's to your discretion. You know, you can handle it however you want to handle it, but one thing you're not going to do because you're married and I'm not married is you're not going to handle that situation as though, you know, you're looking down on that whole situation, or you're looking at, you know, you're looking at it from a whole different perspective, or you're trying to judge your relationship.
You talking about trying to judge where you are?
Yeah, just trying to judge me as a person when you don't even know me. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. Don't do that. That calls rift and friction. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't know me. What do you know about me, bro? Mm-hmm. Because you got a beautiful wife, or you got a nice car, or you got a big house. That's being judgmental. That's not being, because you live in that life. But do I need to know where you came from? Do I need to know who you are as a person?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't switch up now. I mean, because when you call some people to the carpet and tell them what they used to do in their former lives and all how they are, then you got to answer to that.
Yeah.
Not me. You got to answer that. I know what I've done in my life and I know who I am.
Yeah.
But you can't pass no judgment on me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't make yourself, don't look down on me to make yourself look good. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, hey, bro, I mean, you and I are like, man, we two peas in a pod. We going, hey, man, you my dog for life. That ain't gonna never change. But, you know, it's like I said, it's, you can hang around certain groups of people, man. You can go to certain events. You can go to certain functions. And people gonna look at you like, even in church right now, to this day, people do that in church more so than they do anywhere else. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I think part of that runs into, once again, that's another form of relationship. You know, when, you know, technically, you know, in the church, we're called to be the salt of the earth. So right. In other words, you have to be able to deal with really the ones that typically aren't Christian. We call it a seek and save the lost. So typically we should spend a lot of time with people that may not necessarily be in God's walk. You get what I'm saying?
I get you.
But you know,
so, not necessarily. It ain't always got to be the guys. It ain't always got to be the guys.
Well, no, I'm just saying in general.
Because the women do that too, though. Well, so don't get twisted.
Yeah, you have a lot of that. But what one of the big things that you have to have is a openness to deal with people in different walks of life.
Right.
You know, so there's a part of being an example. There's a part of not being judgmental. There's a part of being able to carry out your walk in a way that is loving. You know what I mean? But loving in a way where it's uplifting.
Right.
And not loving in a way that is demeaning.
Right.
So what we have sometimes is conflict. You know what I mean? And conflict is the distance between expectation and reality. You know, sometimes in those relationships and where we have conflicts, you expect one thing, but the reality says another. And then that's when relationships will fall apart.
Right.
The distance between the expectation and reality is always conflict.
Right.
If my wife expects me to be home at 5 p.m. and I come home at 5:05, that's not a big conflict. No. If my wife expects me to come home at 5 p.m. and I come home at 5 a.m.
Oh, no, you got it.
Now we got a big conflict. So the bigger the gap between expectation and reality is, the bigger the conflict.
Right.
Sometimes people can have expectations of church and people can have expectations of different things, relationships. And what will happen is when expectation versus reality hits, then you have this huge conflict in the middle. So one of the things I wanted to just hit on before we wrap up here is how do you deal with relationships where people change?
Yeah. But is that expectations or is that being judgmental?
It's a thin line. You know what I mean? Because expectation is expectation. You know what I mean? You set expectations yourself. See, so expectation is the standard you set. Judgment is the expectation someone else puts on you that you don't meet. So judgment is a decision on someone else. You know what I mean? That expectation can be, you know what I mean, your expectation on someone else.
I got you.
But you know, you could expect Dan to tell you happy birthday and give you a birthday gift. That ain't Dan's expectation.
You happy birthday, Dan.
You know. But I'm just, but the distance between expectation and reality, you know, I've seen a lot of people get married and then they're ready to get divorced. Well,
right. They
expected you to be what you used to be. Right. Or you were this way, but you're not like that now.
Right.
Or now you done turned into this, but you know, whatever it may be. And that's an expectation that hasn't been met. And since that expectation hasn't been met, that has created conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of times in this walk and even in the Christian walk or whether it's in relationships for healthy relationships, when you get married, you don't say I do to who you are now. I say I do to who you're going to become in the future.
Right.
I say I don't just say I do to. I say I do to what you were, what you are, and what you will be.
Yep.
Because who I was 5 years ago is not who I am now.
Right. Exactly.
And who I am now is not who I'm going to be 5 years from now.
Right.
You know what I mean? What we were at 15 ain't who we were at 21.
Mm-hmm.
And at 21, we want the same at 28. Mm-hmm. And at 28, we want the same at 35. And at 35 or 45 or wherever, as you go, the change is constant. And sometimes we can have an expectation of someone to stay the same. You know, that goes back to the beginning when we said a last impression is a lasting impression. Gotcha. You know what I mean? You have an expectation for someone to be somewhere and they're not there. You know what I mean? They'll be somewhere else. They didn't get saved, sanctified, and love the Lord. You looking at them and saying, Lord, if you knew what I knew.
Exactly. That's being judgmental.
It is. It is. But well, if that's their truth and their reality, they know what they know.
Okay.
But they're dealing with a conflict now because what they expected to meet again is different than what they're meeting. So now they're wrestling with that conflict that Dan ain't this gangbanger no more. You know what I'm saying? Oh, so you different now. Especially if they still in that same place. Hmm. So you different now.
Okay.
It even gets that way for people like when you get in business and you get successful. When you get in business and you get successful, one of the first things people want to say is you changed. Yeah, I did change.
For the better.
Yeah. You know, I never deny that. Yeah, I changed.
So did I.
Yeah, brand new. Oh, you got brand new house, brand new car, brand new car, brand new house, brand new shoes, brand new you. How can everything be brand new and I be the same?
Right.
Things have changed. Right. You know, when people become successful and, you know, I've been in business and things for years, but things have to change.
Right.
Relationships have to shift. Why? Because where I didn't have anything at stake here, I have at stake now. Guess what? For the guys that ain't married and ain't got a wife, it was cool to do all that then.
Right.
But you meet up with that same crew years later at the reunion. Yeah, guess what? I ain't in the same place. I'm married. Right. I can't go there. I can't do that. That doesn't work. So it's important for us to understand as we evolve, man, and as we get older and we enter into relationships and we talk about it, from marriages to friendships to things are going to change. You know, that's the only way for the relationships to be healthy. That's the only way. As you know, you grew in your fame and your recognition, there's certain things you couldn't do no more. Couldn't be seen at no more. Couldn't be. And even me, as I grew in business and I got to a certain level, it's certain things that when it was smaller, I could entertain that I can't entertain.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's certain, hey, man, look, can you look out for me? Can you hook me up? No, I can't. You know, but then, Oh, you too good. You know, wow. I got a rap label I want to start. Can you front me $5,000? No.
What's the name of the rap label?
I don't know, man. But I done had people ask me some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But as you advance, I heard Magic Johnson talking about this.
Yeah.
There's levels.
Yeah. There was earlier. Somebody said that earlier to me today in the barbershop. Trust me, they said that earlier. Talk about an individual at the barbershop today, and I say, well, I mean, some people change, man. Some people change.
Everybody changes.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, you know, when you, some things you just hear and you'd be like, nah, you know, when you, some people, but a whole lot of people don't know the reality of it all, though. Sometimes it warrants you to straighten it, but sometimes you just let them go with it. I mean, let them, if that's the narrative you got, then you run with that. You know what I'm saying? If that's what you want to think, that's on you.
Well, you don't have to argue, but no. I think the biggest thing in a relationship is change. And, you know, we have to accept people for who they are,
right,
and where they are. I put up this post the other day, but, you know, you're the CEO of your life. So you got to put people in the place where they belong.
Right.
And you hire and fire accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's your life. I have to put people in places. And, you know, one of the biggest things, and I've always told my daughters, is, you know, when they meet these guys And sometimes, you know, the girls look for these guys that are popular and they got this and they got this going on. For a healthy relationship, you have to be sane. Meaning that you can't fall in love with the potential of what a person might be. You have to deal with them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ike Turner might turn around to being a great man, but at the time he was putting the skibbity paps on Tina. So she had to deal with him where he was.
Not the skibbity
paps. Yeah, he was putting the paws on him.
Yeah.
Not that he may not have had great potential. Maybe, yes, he was a great entertainer and things like that. But at the end of the day, man, you can't fall in love with the potential of what they might be. You have to deal with it with where they are.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with it right now. What's healthy for you. So, you know, all of that to say, you don't want to be in a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And all a toxic relationship is when helping you is hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being there for you, if being there for you is hurting me, if helping you is hurting me, mm-hmm. then that relationship is toxic. And I'm not talking about, it's a difference between hurting me and inconveniencing me. So I don't want people to take it wrong and get it twisted. They like, oh man, well, they always pulling on me this way. And, you know, man, they asking for money or they doing this. There's a difference between hurting and inconveniencing. Some relationships have a pull, you know,
gotcha.
You know, but when it is hurting you, you know, if you're a woman and this guy beating you upside your head. You know what I mean? When he's going around and, you know, getting babies on you or she getting babies on you. And, you know what I mean? You're going through all these different things. They're volatile. They want to fight and put their hands on you. They got all of these things going on. Now, when sticking with you and helping you is hurting me, now that is toxic for me. You know, it's like a parasite.
Gotcha.
A parasite attached to you is helping him, but it's hurting you.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make sure that you weed those toxic relationships out and keep the good one.
There you go. Okay, well, can I wrap this up?
Sure.
Okay. All right, y'all.
Since you started it, you might as well finish.
Okay, that's why I asked you, could I wrap it up?
You ain't asked to start it.
But I'm asking you, could I wrap it up?
You should have did that years ago. We got all, okay.
See, you had to say that. He had to say it. See this is what I'm talking about.
My bad.
You know what, y'all? I'm gonna go ahead and leave on this one. I mean,
my bad.
That's Big Gene over. Get your hands off me.
You forgive
me? Get your hands off me.
I'm sorry.
Get your hands off me. It's a Big Gene.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You forgive me? My bad.
I'm cool, DJ Foot, and we.
And this has been brought to you by Mass Watches.
Get yours.
MASS. WATCHES.com.
Yep.
MassWatches.com.
What about the Mass Apparel?
Man.
What about the Mass Apparel? Look at the Mass Apparel you got on. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. Man.
So you ain't even say nothing about that.
Come on.
Look at the necklace.
What
look at
that.
Okay. Two chains. Yeah. Come on.
This is, hey, you can get this too on MassWatches.com.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this stands for William Massenberg. This ain't VA. This is a W for half a W and half a M. Mass Watches for all your timepieces and clothing needs.
Clothing needs. We gonna talk about clothes. Can we get on clothing needs? Can we talk about it right now? No, let's not talk about it.
It's time to go.
We'll catch y'all. We appreciate y'all. God bless.
Thank you.